If you've glanced at the folder, you may have noted that the powers that be say that we should stop reading at verse 24. But you'll notice that Peter's second and third denial go on to verse 27. So you'll allow me to read through, please, to verse 27. Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews, that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. The servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I speak openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me. What I have said unto them, behold, they know what I said. When he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Two persons are in trial. The first person is the Son of God. The second person is Peter. The Son of God arrayed before men. The Son of God at the bar of human judgment. And at the end, bound and led away. The bound Christ. The found Christ.
Or to use a modern expression, the handcuffed Christ.
Led away, bound.
The second man is Peter. One of the 12. One of the apostles. One of the 3. One of the big men. And at the end, a humble penitent, burning tears, hot tears, bitter tears, a broken hand, the look of the Christ, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Denied, failed the Christ. Oh God, keep us faithful to Christ. From here tonight there rises the cry to the sapphire throne. O God, keep us faithful to thy Son and loyal to the man that died for us. I judge that there were an ecclesiastical trial and a civil trial. I gather from the reading that there were 3 religious trials, 3 civil trials. Watch how men go about judging Christ. Here is the first religious trial before Annas. Using Mark's Gospel, Mark 14, there's the second religious trial. This one would take place approximately around midnight. The second trial before the chief priests and the elders and the scribes and the Sanhedrin would take place probably around 2 to 3 o'clock in the morning. Mark 14. But verse 1 of Mark 15 says that at daybreak, the chief priests consulted with the scribes and the Pharisees and the whole Sanhedrin and bound Christ and led him away to Pilate. They were now ratifying, finally, the whole matter. 3 religious trials. There were 3 civil trials you'll find in Luke 23. The first trial is before Pilate. The second civil trial is before Herod. The third civil trial, again, is before Pilate. Now, as we come forward here to John 18, will you notice, please, that in verses 12 to 14, we are told that he is led away to Anna. And then John gives us Peter's first denial. And that is verses 15 to 18. And then strange. From 19 to 24, John gives us the trial before Annas. And then in 25 to 27, we have Peter's second and third denial. So that you'll notice that Peter's first denial that comes in between Christ being led to Annas and being tried. Or, if you like, that the trial before Annas comes in between the first and the second and third denial. That's how it's put. Now, one or two things, please. I have indicated the trials to you, just a broad survey about the denials, and then I'll deal with the trial and the denials. The 4 Gospels are quite clear. They all say that the Lord said words approximately like this: "Ere the cock crow, twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." They all say that. But it becomes perfectly clear by close reading that the Lord did not mean that Peter would only deny him 3 times. What the Lord was indicating was that in 3 situations, Peter would deny him. For instance, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell us that the first denial was made to the maid. Now, they're quite clear about that. When you come to the second denial, Matthew says it was another maid. Mark says it was the same maid. So there were two maids involved. Luke says it was a man. And John says it was the crowd, they. When you come to the third denial, Matthew and Mark say it was they that stood by. Luke says it was another man. And John says it was the kinsman of Malchus. So that indicates to you that there were five or six denials by Peter. But in three separate situations, he denied constantly. You can understand this. They were around him. Art thou now one of his? Thy speech betrayeth thee? Were ye not with them in the garden? And they're all crowding in on Peter. And Peter's denying and denying and denying and denying. Now, when you come to verses 12 to 14, they take Christ and they bound him. Have you got that? The Son of God bound by men. Oh, the patience of Christ. He could have done what he told Peter in Matthew's Gospel. The Lord there in Matthew's Gospel tells us about at least seven things that no other evangelist records in the last week of the Lord's life on earth. And one of them was this. Listen, he says, Peter. He says, I could command 12 legions of angels. 72,000 angels would leap at my command. They bound him. Brethren and sisters, he could have swept the scene in judgment. Oh, the grace of Christ at this moment. They led him away to Caiaphas. He was the one, we are told, that had said that it was expedient that one man should die for the nation. Have you ever read John 11 carefully? Have you ever read this astute politician? For that's what he was, clever. Do you remember when he stood up to address them, how he opened up? Oh, it's wonderful. It's a great way to deal with a committee. Caiaphas rose to his feet and he said to them, you know nothing at all. Eh? Why, that's the best way to deal with them, isn't it? Eh? He dismisses every other speaker. Says, you don't know anything at all. And then, he says it was expedient one man should die for the nation, and brethren, we're so busy seeing the prophetic aspect, we've lost sight of the fact that as far back as John 11, they had decided that Christ must be murdered. They had murder in their hearts. Now let me come, please, very quickly, just to the trial for a moment or two. If you care to drop your eye, verses 19 onward. Now pick up leading ideas, will you? Verse 19, interrogation. Verse 20, explanation. Verse 21, the first challenge. Verse 22, assault, violence. Verse 23, the second challenge. Verse 24, led away bound. Now, verse 19, interrogation. They asked Jesus concerning his disciples and his teaching. Why didn't they bring the disciples in if they wanted to know? What's the idea? Was it the idea that they would get rid of Christ first and then they would deal with the disciples? I say, brethren, we don't know anything about this. I tell you, over yonder, there are certain countries where they know about interrogation. They want to know about their disciples and their teaching. So it was here. Now in verse 20, the Lord answered concerning his doctrine. Listen to him. Drop your eye. I speak openly to the world. My teaching was done publicly. Drop the definite article before synagogue, will you? I taught in synagogue, for there were many throughout the country. I taught in the temple, for there was only one in Jerusalem. He says, listen, what? You know what to do. In secret have I said nothing. You can gather secretly with your executive councils. You can seek false witnesses if you like. Remember this, the man on trial had never done anything like that. This is no rebellion, uprising, that he's trying to whip up. Verse 21. Why ask me? You see, please, the whole thing's wrong. It was illegal to hold a trial on a capital charge during the night. His arrest was the outcome of bribery, blood money. 30 pieces of silver. Matthew alone tells you that. Again. He was asked to incriminate himself. Give the evidence that will condemn you. It's all wrong, brethren. Look at verse 21. Why ask me? Ask them which heard me. What I said unto them, they know what I said. In other words, bring the witnesses in. Go out and get them. You must know them. Bring your officers in. You remember the men that you sent to arrest me? And they came back and said, never man spake like this man. They heard Christ preaching in all the wonder and glory of his power. And his preaching so affected them, they came back without the prisoner. Send for the blind man. Bring him out. He excommunicated him because he accepted my teaching. He'll confess me as Jesus, as prophet, as the Son of God. Oh, brethren, listen. Listen to me, will you? Bring them in. Bring in the procession of witnesses. Bring in all the people I have healed. Oh, the multitudes of them. Men that were once deaf and dumb and blind and leprous and dead. Bring them in. Hundreds of them will witness about what I've said and taught and done. Oh, brethren, what a procession it would have been through the judgment hall. Eh? Verse 22. One of the officers struck him. Oh, the majestic bearing of Christ. And this underling fulfilled Micah 5. They smote the judge of Israel on the cheek. I reckon, brethren, you'll allow me, won't you? I reckon this boy was looking for promotion. It was popular to be against Christ. And so he took his hand and he smote him. And Christ said, verse 23, oh, watch the gentleness of the Son of God. If I have spoke evil, bear witness of me. But if not, why smite me? Oh, can you mark it, please? The majestic humility of Christ. Who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. What the Christ of God, the wisdom that cometh from above, is gentle, full of mercy. Brethren, listen. Do you know what he could have done? He could have withered the man's hand. Almighty power could have held it in the air, as God did to Jeroboam when he pointed to the man of God out of Judah and said, arrest him. God withered his hand. Oh, the patient grace of God's blessed Son. He could have swept the whole scene in judgment. They led him bound away to Caiaphas. Let's come now to the denials, please. Will come now from men, religious hypocrites. Will come now to one of his own, the Lord and Peter. Now don't you forget this, that Peter was in these situations because he loved Christ. It was love and devotion that took him there. He never ceased to love Christ. His faith never failed, albeit his courage did. He loved him.
Brethren, I don't want you to miss this. If I deal gently with Peter tonight, if I don't score off him tonight the way I might have done 10 or 15 years ago, you'll understand this and you won't judge me too severely, will you? Before I begin, I want to say this. There are many ways to deny Christ. Why should I utterly condemn Peter that denied him only one day, when some of us are denying him every day? It's a tremendous theme. It's Peter. Oh, it's not one of the lesser fry. It's one of the big men. And he's going to be tried and he won't know it till it's over. It's one of the men that boasted and fell badly. Brethren, be careful, your lips don't take you beyond your faith and your courage. Though all be offended in thee, yet will not I, O Peter, in God's name be quiet. I'll go to prison, Lord. Lord, I'll die for you. Oh, and mind you, he meant it. Literally meant it. Do you know that John tells us, in chapter 13, that he boasted before Christ warned him. Is that right? You know that Mark tells us he boasted after Christ warned him. Oh, brethren, he's too self-confident. He's too big for his boots. He doesn't know himself. Oh, he'll learn. He'll learn the hard road. God knows we've been taken that way, haven't we? They all forsook him and fled. Mind you, when Peter says, "Though all be offended, yet will not I," they all joined in. They were all saying the same thing. And when the moment came, they got off their mark as quick as they could. But two men came back. Two men came back. Peter, and it's taken to the John. And love brought them back. Love brought them back. Oh, it's good. The love for Christ was so great, they couldn't stay away. And Peter's courage was too small once they got there. When John arrived, John got in. Now, here's what it says. That disciple was known to the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace. And Peter's left outside. Peter stood at the door without. Oh, brethren, is that the providence of God? Would have been better if he stayed out. Was the shut door not an indication, Peter, stay there? Peter, you're not fit for it. Peter, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The closed door kept him out. Better if he had stayed out. But John uses his influence. He misses him. Maybe John's looking for fellowship. And John brings him in. I wonder where John went afterwards. For John brought him in and they get separated on the inside. There's no more word of John. Was he with Christ watching? I don't know. They're separated anyway. And Peter's in. Peter's in. Do you remember the first verse of Psalm 1?
wasn't there?
Blessed is the man that walketh, have you got that? That walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Brethren, read it. Peter walked, Peter stood, and Peter sat amongst the enemies of Christ. And brethren, if I had been there, if I had been there, I'd have pledged all that I possessed that the right man was there. If there's a man that'll stand for Christ, it'll be Peter. If there's a man that won't be afraid, it'll be Peter. Didn't our brother tell us about it? He drew the sword in defense of Christ in the garden with armed men, good old Peter. But what a man is today may not be tomorrow. Isn't that right? Isn't that right, brethren? This man that's going to deny Christ drew the sword. See, brethren, this is the man that walks in the water. Isn't that right? Oh, there's the boat. There's the Christ coming along and they're all frightened. Be not afraid. And the voice cometh across the water and Peter, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee upon the water. And across the dark ocean, there comes the voice of Christ, come! And Peter's getting over the side of the boat. Peter, stay where you are. It's difficult. But he's out. Peter, listen, it's dangerous, it's disastrous. Stay where you are. Brethren, Peter's walking in the water. Peter's doing what Christ can do. Come on. And as long as he looked at Christ, he was superior to his circumstances, doing what Christ could do. Ah, but listen, only one man in 12 can do it. Are you that man? Come on, brethren, are you that man? But here it's different. And he's in. And as he's around the fire, look, the firelight's playing on his face, and the girl that let him in the door. She earnestly looked. She stood and she fixed her gaze on him. She remembered now that she had let him in with John. John had come and said, and she had let him in. And so she looks at him and she says, art thou also, just like the other man that I let in, art thou also one of his disciples? And Peter's taken aback. And yet he must answer, and he blurts out, I am not. What's happened, brethren? What's happened? Oh, I think I know. Don't be too hard on me if you disagree with me. I think I know. This is the man that boasted. Though all be offended, yet will not I. I'll go to prison, I'll die with you and for you. Brethren, Peter meant it. You see, Peter had the idea that if he get inside, they would likely arrest him and he'd stand with Christ. And he would make his defense. And he would plead. Oh yes, and if need be, he would die alongside of Christ. But it didn't work out that way. Now you might disagree with me here. When Peter made his great big boasts, some of the demons told the devil. Now the devil's a great psychologist. You take his treatment of Job and you'll find that out. He's a great psychologist. And he decided, we'll bring this man down, but not the way he thinks. He thinks he's going to be a big man. He's got his ground prepared and the weapons he'll use. But we'll get him another way. And they got Peter completely off guard. If the soldiers had come around and hustled him away with Christ, he would have stood yonder. But they didn't. It was a girl. And when the young woman challenged him, he's off his guard. He didn't expect it to work out like this. And before he knew, he had denied. And they were at him again. And he denied again, and they're at him again. Oh, brethren, listen. The challenge The challenge, the test, the trial won't always come the way we think it'll come. Before he knew, he was denying all over the place. According to one of the synoptics, when he denied the first time, he went out to the porch to try and get away, and he couldn't, and he had to come back in. And he's standing warming himself at the fire. Eh? It says this. It says that Peter stood with them. Peter stood with them. Peter stood with them. What was the challenge? Wert thou not also with him? Ah, once he was with him, but now he's with them. Now he's with them. Brethren, I want to repeat something of Brother Leckie. A point he made the other night. I don't know whether he took much notice of it or not. It was this. He raised the plea against worldliness. Against worldliness. Now I want to ask you tonight in God's name, don't you hold that against me. For mind you, there's no padding in this message. I've come to tell you what God told me to tell you. I want to ask you tonight, are you near the world? Come on now. Is the world getting into your heart and into your home? You're allowing things today you never would have allowed years ago. You're caught off your guard. A young man said to me the other day, I'm getting involved. I can't help it. Sitting in his own home. And I had to say to him, listen, brother, that's your problem. At least there's one thing to your credit, you know it. What I would do and what you would do may be the same or different, but you'll need to face up to it. Come on, brethren. Are we getting worldly? As we go on in the world, are we not as holy and as separate unto the Lord as once we were? Oh, in here tonight can I raise my voice in the name of God and Christ? Are you warming yourself at the world's fire? And you are where you are, and your faith's not big enough. Oh, God, help us. You're not big enough to stand the test. You'll finish in tears if you're not careful. Can you stop tonight? Peter made for the porch. And I don't know what happened, but he couldn't get out. And he came back, and he warmed himself. And he was challenged again and again. Oh, it's not enough, brethren, with oaths and curses. He swore he never knew the man. Oh, God, is it possible? Eh? Listen to me, will you, and I'll finish. He was one of the 12. Have you got that? He was one of the 3. We were talking about love this afternoon in the Bible reading. The Lord loves us all the same. But, brethren, he distinguishes certain men. Don't you make any mistake about that. He exalted 3 to the peerage, and the other 9 were commoners. Big men! It was the big man that failed. It was one of the big 3 that failed. Mind you, he was in the best of company. Sacred fellowship! Isn't that right? He had broken the bread, brethren. He had taken the cup. He had listened to the sweetest ministry that ever fell in mortal ears. He had stood and proclaimed his loyalty to Christ, and he fell. He fell. He's a partner in Demas. Demas in 2 Timothy 4 was an apostolic fellowship. He was amongst the finest company in the world. And Peter and Demas turned away having loved this present age. Have you got that? He loved the present age. John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Say, listen, don't hold it against me, will you? Demas deserted Christ. And John warns against the world. Centuries before, they were modern inventions like radio and TV. Have you got me?
The absence of these things don't make you spiritual, while the presence of them can constitute a danger. Now, brethren, please. Away you go home. Brethren, please. Away you go home. And talk to God about these things, will you? Look across the fireplace tonight. Be honest with your wife. Would you need to say, Mary, things are different here. Come on, brethren. Would you need to stop and say, John,
things are not what they used to be. Things are different. Is that right, brethren? Are we putting? What? Whether Christ was on the gallery looking down, or inside looking out, or whether he was walking through the courtyard, but suddenly Peter's conscious, and as he turns the eyes of Christ and he looks at him, oh, Peter, you've let me down. Oh, Peter. Peter turned, went out and wept at him.
Oh, may God grant Christ will never need to look at us in this way. Oh, brethren, may God keep us loyal to the man that died under the deluge of divine judgment for us. May God keep us loyal to the man that lives in the glory to sustain us. May God help us to appreciate Christ and Calvary and the glory of resurrection and priesthood. For Christ wants us to be faithful, and listen deep down in your heart. Isn't that right? You want to be faithful to Christ. Eh? You want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Listen, brethren. Listen. Saviour, thy dying love thou gavest me, nor should I aught withhold thy Lord from thee. In love my soul would bow, my heart fulfill its vow. Some offering bring thee now, something for thee. Lord, help me the cross to bear. Thy wondrous love declare. Lord, help me some work of love begun, some deed of kindness done, that's it. All that I am and have thy gifts so free, in joy, in grief through life, O Lord, for thee. When thy face I see, my ransomed soul shall be through all eternity. Something for thee.